Amen. Thank you for that song. And thank you for Jesus. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ezekiel 37 this morning. Ezekiel 37. If you missed last Sunday, I'd encourage you to go online and try to watch that just to see where we're at, because we began this year with our theme of Revive Us Again. I've been waiting a year to preach this passage of Scripture. I'm so excited about it. Just thinking about being seeking God's face for revival and praying about that last year and planning for this year, I kept coming back to this prophecy of Ezekiel of the dry bones. And we asked the question from Scripture last week, can these bones live? And the prophet responds, Lord, thou knowest. And we want to answer that question for today. I tried to give you a little background on Ezekiel. I want to remind you that just real quick before we get into the text today. Remember that Israel had been divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom of Israel was carried away by Assyria. Before this time, the southern kingdom of Judah lasted a little longer before they went into captivity, carried away by the Babylonians. And the reason Judah lasted longer is because they had more godly kings who led the people in faithfulness to God. The northern kingdom had rebelled against God more. They didn't have any godly leaders who led them really to follow the Lord, and so they were carried away sooner. Ezekiel served in this time period. In the first Babylonian invasion where people were carried away was at about 605 BC, where the prophet Daniel was taken away. The second invasion happened in around 597 when Ezekiel was carried away captive. He was about 25 years old at that time. And then the third invasion happened in 586 where the prophet Jeremiah was taken. I see that nobody's writing any of that down, so it won't matter for you at all. But I just want you to get kind of an idea, because what happens early in Ezekiel's ministry is he's warning Israel and all the nations around. He's warning them of God's judgment to come. You have gone on and on and on in your rebellion against God. You think you've gotten away with something. A lot of these pagan nations believe that there wasn't even a God in Israel, that there wasn't, he wasn't even a true God, because look at what they got away with. But God said, no, judgment's going to come. You're not going to get away with anything. Amen. Listen, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. And so he warns them of judgment in the first half of the book. The last half of the prophecy, he's talking about God's promises of restoration, that I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to give you the promises that I gave. It may seem like there's no hope. It may seem like Israel is just a valley full of dry bones that are very many and very dry, but I'm telling you that there is hope, because the God of heaven will give life again. Amen. And so that's the picture. That's what's going on. But listen, this prophecy, this vision is not exclusive to that nation of Israel in Babylonian captivity at that time. There are some wonderful promises here for the future. And there are some wonderful pictures here of those who trust in Jesus today. Amen. So we're going to get into some of the best parts of this morning. If you're able, let's stand together. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. I just wonder, is anybody excited about the word today? Amen. Man, I know some of you aren't, but I hope you'll get that way. And I know some of you are. And we ought to always be excited about coming to the Word of God. Amen. Ezekiel 37:1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the blessing of gathering, singing your praises coming before your throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And truly, Lord, we need you every moment of every day. Father, I pray you'll bless our time together in your word. Help me, Lord, to say the things that I ought to say and to leave off the things that I shouldn't say. I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. That if there's someone who is dead in their trespasses and sins today, if they are dead, that, Lord, today they would hear the word of God, that your Holy Spirit would enter in and they would be made alive through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would make dead bones come to life today. Lord, please revive our hearts. Those who are saved, bring us new passions, new hearts, new desires. Lord, that we would love you in a greater way and serve you more faithfully. Lord, please build up your kingdom here. Please help us to be real disciples following you. Help us to be used by you to make disciples who make disciples. Father, I just pray that you would get glory in this place. Help us to be faithful witnesses for you. And please help, for we are nothing without you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Can these bones live? Ezekiel's prophesying to the people of Israel at a time when captivity was certain. He's prophesying to them and warned them of the judgment. They become very despondent, very discouraged, very much without hope. And then he comes back with a message and says, though you may think that there is no hope, that you've come to the end of yourself, there's no way you can save yourselves, but there is a God in heaven who will restore you. There's a God in heaven who will bring you together again. There's a God in heaven who will make you alive. And so God brings him in this vision, carries him all around the valley, and he says it's full of bones. There are very many bones. They are very dry. And he says, can they live? And he says, God, you know. And listen to the response of God when he says, O Lord God, thou knowest. Look at verse 4 again. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. God's word is that I'm going to give you life. I'm going to bring life back to these bones. Hear what I will do. I want you to understand something this morning, that life only comes spiritually from the word of God. And these dead bones, hey, what can a pile of dead bones do? A pile of dead bones can't think. A pile of dead bones can't hear. A pile of dead bones can't do anything. But God says, I'm going to make them alive. Listen, whatever is dead and is made alive, that only happens by the grace of God, by the power of God. It's all Him, and it's certainly not anything that we have to do. It's all Him. He's the only one that can bring the dead to life. And he gives us this great picture of bringing them and putting them together. And Job 10:11, Job says, thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. And listen, he's gives this picture of life, that everything I am, that my existence is because God's put me together. He's made me the way that I am. Amen. God's made me. And then look at the response of the prophet in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. The word prophesy in your Bible has a couple of different meanings. Sometimes the word prophesy means to foretell the future. God would reveal to certain people things that were going to happen in the future, and they would prophesy of those things. We think especially of men like Daniel and Ezekiel, who God gave them visions and prophecies of the future. We think about John the Revelator, and God showed him things that were yet to come. That's one sense of the word prophesy. There's another sense of the word prophesy too. It doesn't just mean to foretell the future, but it means to foretell what God has revealed. It's taking the revelation of God and speaking it out loud. That's what we would call preaching today. Isn't that what we expect at a time like this, that your pastor would stand up and take the revelation of the Word of God and speak it out loud? That is also prophesying in a biblical sense. And so I want you to get this. Ezekiel here is just preaching the message that God gave him. Amen. And his audience is a pile of dry bones. Unresponsive. Lifeless bones. What are you laughing for? I'm not saying that I can relate to what Ezekiel might have felt like. I'm not saying it. I love the fact that there's just so many times in Scripture you see statements like this. God says, prophesy unto these bones. And Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. God said, preach to the bones. So I got up and preached to the bones. I would to God that you and I would have the same kind of response today and every day when we open up our Bibles and we read it and the Word of God and the Spirit of God says, hey, do this, that we would just say, I'll do that. Amen. That we could be like the psalmist when God says, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When God says, study to show thyself approved, I study your word. When he says, fast and pray, I fast and pray. When he says, be witnesses unto me, I'm a witness to him. When he says, love your wife, I love my wife. When he says, train up your children in the way they should go, I train up my children. I teach them diligently, that we just look into the word of God and what God says to me, that I will do. Amen. Would to God that we could live that way. We really make everything so complicated. And it's really not. There is a simplicity in Christ that we just believe what he says and then we do what he says. Amen. It's really not that complicated. In the conference yesterday, Brother Steve preached a message and was challenging us in the business of evangelism. And we're talking about how God's called us to preach the gospel and how some people say, well, I don't really feel a special calling. You know, I don't really feel a burden. And he used the illustration that we've heard so many times. But listen, when you are young and growing up and your father said to you, son or daughter, take out the trash. When did ever in your right mind did you look at your dad and say, Father, I don't really feel a burden to take out the trash. I just really don't feel a special calling in my heart to clean my room. No, you do what your father says. Amen. Because he said it. Amen. And I'm just telling you, sometimes, listen, we have a war in our members. You're not always going to feel like doing what God said to do. And listen, it's not really about how you feel. I'm sorry. Some of you didn't like that. I'm not sorry that I said it. I'm sorry you don't like it, because that's a terrible attitude to have. Amen. It doesn't matter. It's not all about your feelings. Amen. Man, some of you are really disappointed. You came here today to be encouraged. And listen, it's not about how we feel. It's about being obedient to God. Amen. God said, prophesy, so I prophesied. I love it. God said, prophesy, so I prophesied as I was commanded. I did what God said, the way God said for me to do it. And so, he says in verse 7, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bones. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Ezekiel stands up to preach to the bones, and as he begins to preach, there was a shaking. There was a noise, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now, I'd really like to sing the song for you this morning, but I don't know all the words. Does anybody want to, like, volunteer you come sing about the bones? No? Come on, that's a great song. You can look it up on iTunes later. Yeah. When he starts preaching to the bones, there's a shaking, and there's a noise. This is amazing, because I want you to consider the immediate prophecy that he was giving to the nation of Israel. They're scattered. They're carried away. They feel completely separated. They feel like there's no hope. And God says, I'm going to bring you together. I'm going to bring you back together. I'm going to make you whole once again. And this word noise literally means to cry aloud. It's the same word that's used as a proclamation. And if you were to look in your Bible at Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1, in Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1, you would see these words. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of this place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. This is the first of three proclamations where those Babylonians and Persian kings would be sending the people of Israel back, that they would be gathered. Do you notice that it's the word proclamation? It's the same word that Ezekiel used for the noise that he heard. When the word of God came, the bones gathered back together. And this was a picture that he was saying, listen, it's going to come a day when God's going to send his word forth, and I'm going to gather you back together. At the word of God. Isn't that awesome? Listen, there's no hope for you. You're scattered abroad. You're defeated. You don't even know where everybody is. There's no hope for Israel to come back together except the word of God. And God's word will bring you back together. And listen, God told the name of Cyrus before he was ever born. God prophesied about countries, nations that didn't even exist. He talked about them and what they would do before they ever even existed. I'm just telling you, the word of God is powerful, and it brought Israel back together, and there's a beautiful picture there. Hosea 1:11 says, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. And I'm just telling you, God said, I'm going to bring you back together. And that was the picture that he was giving Ezekiel by bringing the bones together. Behold, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But, this is critical, you got to get it. There was no breath in them. I want you to think about the nation of Israel. You think about when God brought them back together. The first proclamation for them to come back together in Ezra 1 was probably about 537 B.C. God was going to get his 70 years out of them. And it wasn't just a one time they were carried away one day, and then exactly 70 years later they were carried back. This was a process. Remember, Babylon invaded them multiple times. The first decree by Cyrus is in 537. There was a next decree in about 518. You can read about that in Ezra chapter 6. The last one was by Artaxerxes in about 458 BC in Ezra chapter 7. You can read about that. Listen, Artaxerxes gives that final decree to go back, and 490 years later, Jesus shows up in Jerusalem. Listen, God's word is always going to happen just like he said. And I promise, there's some skeptics around us today and say, oh, the Bible's all made up and you can't believe it. They've never studied the Bible. They don't understand the prophecies. They don't understand. Listen, I'm just telling you today, you can read your Bible, you can believe your Bible. God's promises always happen exactly like God says. And he got that time of judgment over with, and he sends them back. And those prophecies, we still look for fulfillment even today. But you think about Israel coming back. You think about the celebration when they built the temple. You think about those who saw that temple rebuilt and they wept because they remember the glory that it used to have. Amen. You think about how they came back to God, but we know. We know what happened after that time. After about another 140 years, God basically goes silent. From the end of your Old Testament to the birth of Jesus, there's about a 400-year period of darkness where God doesn't speak to his people. And during that time, they turned away from God in their hearts. During that time, they served him with their mouths, but their hearts were far from him. During that time, there were few who loved the Lord. There were few who still served God. There were few who still looked for Messiah's coming, but many of them had just turned it into nothing but a religion, an empty religion. Outwardly, they were whited sepulchers, but on the inside, they were still full of dead men's bones. You guys still with me? They were together, but there was no breath in them. Then God sent the angel Gabriel, and he said, a son is coming. And God would send his only begotten son into the world, and he would stand and he would preach through the power of the Spirit, and he would make the lame to walk and the blind to see. But listen to me, he would put life into those who were dead. They were brought together, but there was no breath in them. And so God continues in verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. God says, prophesy to the bones. The bones come together. The flesh and sinews and the skin comes on, but they're still just bodies that are laying there. And so then he prophesies. He says, prophesy to the wind. And when he preaches to the wind, what does that mean? He preaches to the wind, and the wind comes as a breath, and they all come to life and stand up. I want to tell you that as the prophesying to the bones, I believe, was preaching, I want to tell you that I believe that the prophesying to the wind is what we would call today praying. We preach the word of God to those who are dead, and we say, repent and believe the gospel and you'll be made alive. But we don't preach to the Spirit of God and tell him what to do. We plead with the Spirit of God, and we say, Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. Spirit of God, move in the hearts of those that are lost. Spirit of God, draw those who are dead in their trespasses and sins and make them alive. Lord, take those who are religious and give them a real living relationship with Christ. We pray to the Holy Spirit of God. And this wind that he preaches to, this wind that he prophesies to, that is the breath of God. Do you remember what God did in the garden? Do you remember how he formed man, Adam, out of the dust of the ground? But then he did something different with Adam than he did with all the rest of creation. He breathed into his nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. It's the breath of God that gave him life. John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Does everybody remember what the word quicken means? It means to be made alive. Amen. Quicken means to be made alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. I want to tell you that Israel being sent back to Jerusalem didn't give them life. Being gathered back together didn't give them life. Ezra and Ezekiel and others who would be involved with rebuilding the temple, that didn't give Israel life. Nehemiah coming back and rebuilding the wall and restoring the protection around the city, that did not give Israel life. The only thing that gave Israel life then, and the only thing that could give you life now, is faith. Amen. Those who believed God like Abraham did, they were the children of God. And those who believe in God today, those who trust in Christ today, that's how you're made alive. By faith, the Spirit of God makes you alive. You see what God was doing with Israel, and we see the picture not only of what was happening then, but look at what happened in your life. You were once nothing but a pile of dead, dry bones. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were without God and without hope in the world. We all had our conversation in times past and the lust of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were like others, children of wrath. Amen. But then someone took the word of Jesus, the word of Spirit, the word of life, and someone spoke that word to you and you were made alive. See, I teased you about it was like preaching a bunch of dead bones, but I'm telling you, you ought to wake up this morning if you're born again, because you're not dead anymore. You're alive. Amen. I am alive in Christ. I'm not dead anymore. I've been made alive. Are you alive in Christ? Amen. Oh, come on. Just let it sink in. Just a second. Are you alive in Christ? Do you feel it right here? I don't know where it happens for you. It kind of starts right here in this area, right here. And this joy, this overwhelming joy. I'm not dead. God isn't giving me what I deserve. He gave Himself. Amen. I don't have to suffer for my sins. I'm not separated from Him anymore. I have fellowship with God through faith in Christ. I'm not dead in my trespasses and sins. I'm not on my way to hell forever. I have life everlasting. He's brought me into His glorious light. I am alive. Amen. I'm just saying, are you alive today? I don't know how we can think about what God's done. I was nothing but a pile of dead bones, but He brought me together, and He didn't just put a body together and leave me laying in the valley, but He put a Spirit in me, and I'm standing on my feet, and I'm alive in God today. Amen. When the breath of God came, they stood up on their feet. They lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. God said He was going to do some great things with Israel. Hosea 1:10 says, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, 'Ye are not my people,' there it shall be said unto them, 'Ye are the sons of the living God.'" And Israel will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ one day. I'm just telling you that I believe that parts of this vision have been fulfilled and parts of this vision are yet to be fulfilled. As a nation, Israel has rejected their Messiah. They are not alive. The Spirit of God is not in them. Amen. But one day that will happen. One day they will turn to Christ and trust in Him. And I thank God for those who have. I mentioned this last week. I just want to remind you today that Israel, true Israel, it's not the lineage of Abraham. True Israel are those who are the sons and daughters of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how we become part of Him, part of His kingdom. So I prophesied as He commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. One day He'll gather Israel, and they will trust in Christ, and He will be their God, and they will be His people. Maybe that doesn't sit well with some of you, but I'm just telling you that though they be the people of God, and they are, they're still God's chosen people, and they still have promises to get. They're not His until they trust in Christ. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb.'" God talks about His people Israel and how they'll be gathered and they'll stand in that day. John the Revelator tells us about a day when people from all over the world, from all walks of life, will stand before the throne of Christ Jesus our Lord. They stood before the throne. And when the breath of God came into those bodies that had been put back together, they lived and they stood upon their feet. An exceeding great army. John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13 says, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. So much that we don't understand about the Spirit of God. Jesus, when he met with Nicodemus that night, John chapter 3, look at verse 5. Remember, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, nobody could do the things you do except he were sent from God. He knows there's something different about Jesus. He knows there's something genuine about Jesus. He knows the Spirit of God is working through Jesus, but he's having a hard time because if he trusts in Jesus, he gives everything up, and he's wrestling with that. But Jesus says to him in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God does a work we can't understand. But Jesus has showed us that his Spirit moves in his Word. The Word that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Amen. And so what does it mean for us today? It means this: if you're dead in your trespasses and sins, only the Word of God can make you alive. Amen. John Gill talks about this passage of Scripture. And you notice it says that he prophesied to those who were slain. Though not slain with the sword, yet being as dead men who are slain by death are so called. So in a spiritual sense, men are slain by sin and are slain by the words of the Lord's mouth. Killed with the law, the killing letter, and it is only the Spirit of God that can give them life. The law brings death. You and I are guilty under the law. And under the penalty of the law, we are condemned. There's not one among us that isn't. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all condemned the Most High. We've all rebelled against Him. We've all lied. We've stolen. We've disobeyed our parents. We've looked with lust. We've hated other people. You just go down the list. We're all guilty. And this valley of dry bones, they were like men slain in battle. And you may not have been slain in battle that you understand, but spiritually we've been slain by sin. And if that's you today, you've never been born again, please understand me. God loves you so much that Christ paid the price for your sin. That though you were dead, if you believe in Jesus, though you were dead, yet shall you live. We deserve death. We deserve separation from God. But Jesus loves you, and He made a way for you to be forgiven, to be given life. So what do? If that's you today, trust in Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord and live. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. What's that mean? It means that if you're dead in your trespasses and sins, if you're lost and on your way to hell, and you know it today, you can turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. You can be saved. It's an amazing thing that dead, dry bones can be made alive. It's not what you do. It's not how you live. It's what Christ did for you on the cross. You remember what he said? It is finished. Amen. It's paid in full. This morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've never believed on Him unto life everlasting, you can be saved today. Put your faith in Jesus. Pray. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be your Savior. You can be born again today. What if you have been born again? What if you have been made alive? What if the Spirit of God, the breath of God, has breathed on you and you have become a living soul? You are alive in Christ today. What do? Well, we have the great privilege of preaching to dead bones. Somebody said that evangelism is just one beggar trying to tell another beggar where to find bread. I would say, based on our passage that we're studying, that I was dead and I've been made alive, and I'm trying to help other dead people come to life. Amen. We have the privilege of taking the Word of God, and you say, well, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't have a special calling. No, you do have a calling if you believe in Jesus, because he wants every believer to help others become believers. Amen. So what do? Well, we proclaim to them, we prophesy to them, we preach to them the Word of God. What did he preach to the bones? Live. So what do we preach? Trust in Jesus and you can live. Amen. We give them the Word of God. We preach to the bones. We proclaim the gospel to those that are dead. And then what do? We cry out to the Spirit of God. We plead with the Spirit of God. Oh, breath of God, come. Oh, breath of God, move. Oh, breath of God, give life. Because it's the Spirit that quickens. Amen. No one is made alive without the Spirit of God coming in. Amen. You need to get this. It's not about coming together being religious. Israel came together. Many of them are still very religious. That doesn't give them life. Listen, going through religious ceremonies doesn't do it. Getting baptized or showing up at church or taking communion, those things don't give life. It's only the Spirit of God who comes in by faith in Christ that gives life. So we plead with the Spirit of God to come in. This morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I plead with you sitting in this room right now, watching it online at home, that if you've never been born again, that you would trust in Christ today. And if you are saved, that you would make a commitment to the Lord. That by His grace, you'll be a witness for Jesus. As a church corporately, and as an individual, as you go about your day-to-day life, that you will preach the Word of God to give life to those who are dead. If you're able, let's stand together. I want to ask our musicians to come. If you're alive today in Christ, it's because of Him alone. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. And if you're struggling with whether to trust in Jesus today and you're worried about whether you can live it out, I'm telling you right now, listen, your salvation will only come through faith in Christ. And when you're saved forever by Christ. You cannot be good enough to earn it. You cannot be good enough to keep it. It's all Jesus. And so let go of everything and grab hold of Him today. Trust in Him today. And for those of you who are saved, every one of you knows someone who isn't saved. I just want to admonish you this morning that you would pray for them. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody you go to school with or you work with. But someone you know isn't saved, and God's putting them on your heart. I want to challenge you this morning that right now you would come and you would pray for them and ask God to give you the courage to share Christ with them. They will not live unless they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we have this song of invitation, you come while we sing.